Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
Praise, that's a big portion of prayer. Praise, and then we see confession or petition. Petition is asking, bringing your needs before Him, asking the Lord to build your faith, giving you direction in your life, that His will would be done, and on and on and on. And petition, asking God for something. And then we see confession, bringing your burdens before Christ, laying your sins down and confessing of your sins, confessing of your doubts, confessing of your fears, and saying that whatever's really burdening you, confessing of man, I have failed you. I have dropped the ball in this area of my life. Please come into me, come back to me, and fill this gap of my life. That's confession. And so again, praise, petition, and confession. Real quickly, I want to highlight what prayer isn't. Eloquent speech. You know, I think sometimes the King James Version has ruined some people because they think, man, I can't pray like that. I can't, Lord cometh, heareth, in my hearteth, todayeth. You know, it's like really? I know that we laugh about that, but I really, really see, especially students and younger Christians who struggle with not having the actual language to preach to God or to pray to God. They don't understand how to do it because they see and it looks like it's so dressed up nicely. And so oftentimes we have pastors come up and deliver amazing prayers, and that's great. But God doesn't care about our eloquent speech. He looks at our heart. Like, eloquent speech might impress other people around us, and it might give somebody goosebumps somewhere, but God sees all through that. He sees directly into your heart. He sees what you're talking about. Can I honestly tell you, some of the most beautiful prayers that I have ever heard came out of a stumbling speech, hard to get out, a boy that had Down syndrome. And can I tell you why they were so beautiful and so powerful? Is because I saw the heart behind it. He had faith that what he was praying was going to be done. He believed that God heard him. He understood that, and you could see that on this young man's face. And can I tell you, those are some of the most powerful prayers I've ever heard. Versus everything that's all dressed up and fancy, and that's good. But what is the heart? What is the heart behind the prayer? That's what God sees. So what prayer isn't? It's not eloquent speech. I also believe that there's not necessarily a perfect order to prayer. A lot of us think that this prayer has to be just this right chemical concoction to get this perfect thing, and that I don't believe that's how God operates. Man, if you find out that you have an illness, you have cancer, and you go to the Lord and you drop to your knees at that moment and you say, "Lord, touch me, heal me," and you cry out from your heart, I really don't think we serve a God that's going to look at you and say, "I'll think about that, but do you want to say how awesome I am first?" I don't think that's how God operates. I don't think God hears the cry of His children. And so, again, I think so many of us put the language in the certain order that it has to be, and that's not what God wants. God wants a genuine heart. God wants you to cry out for whatever it is in your heart. And again, when your heart is more in tune with God, then, of course, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but out of that, we'll praise Him. Out of that, we will confess to Him. Out of that, all of those things. We're not going to constantly just ask if our heart is in the right spot. But again, it's not eloquent speech. It's not order. Also, this is a very important one. Prayer is not granted access because of worthiness. I think some of us think, oh man, that person has, I mean, they got the recliner seat in the Lord's living room because the way they live their life. Like, they're watching the Chiefs game with the Lord on Sunday afternoons, because we all know the Lord watches the Chiefs. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. We've all, we've, I would say many of us, the majority of us, myself included, have been guilty of looking at somebody and saying they have better access at God because of the way they live their life. They have better access to God because of how holy they are, or how obedient they are, or at what appears to being used at, in the gifts of the Spirit they are. And that's just not biblical. It's just not biblical. In fact, if you have even a hint of I'm worthy of approaching the throne of God just by my own merit because of my own worthiness, then you are sorely mistaken. You don't understand the grace of God. And I'll get to that. But again, what prayer isn't is eloquent speech, order, or access based on worthiness. None of those things are. It's simply praise, confession, and petition. And that can look a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to look one certain way. So we get into the meat of it. And that is how to pray. How to pray. And I really landed on really two super basic points that I think really drive home what it means how to pray. And there's no preacher in the world that could stand up here and unpack everything that it means to pray, or everything that it means to how to pray. But I think these two points do a pretty good job of making us understand, one, the heart of God, and also how we should approach God. So here's the two things that I think I've landed on, and I really feel like it does a good job of painting the picture of how to pray. And the first one is this: often. Often. And we go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and we saw it earlier. But do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Every situation, every season that we are in, we should pray. Every situation, every season that we are in, we should pray. But man, so often we make God kind of the genie in the bottle type God. And man, when life's going well, it's like, man, I know I got that genie in my back pocket, but I really don't need much. Like, bank account is full. There's gas in the tank. There's food on the table. Everybody's healthy, we're good, I got a job, everything. But as soon as things start going south, so often it's like, okay, God, I'm in crisis, I need you. But God wants that relationship all the time. God wants, man, when things are going good, to praise him. God, when things are going well, we should pray. Daily we should pray. Daily we should engage. Often we should engage in prayer. When we're joyful, when we're fearful, when we're sad, happy, depressed, broken, victorious. In everything, in every situation, we should pray. You know, it's worth highlighting that the reasons that Jesus' disciples are asking him how to pray is because it's very evident. If you look, there's a lot of evidence in the book of Luke that Jesus prayed often. Jesus prayed often, and I don't know exactly what I have on the screen, but I know that there's several scriptures in Luke that highlight that, but I know one specifically, Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus did this regularly, and because he did it so regularly, his disciples, man, teach us how to pray. Teach us, show us how to pray. There's countless examples in Scripture that God wants his children to come to him. And I think that's another thing, and I said this to the youth on Wednesday night, but sometimes that kind of muddies the water when our understanding of our relationship with God, because it's just that we're called sons and daughters, our Heavenly Father. And sometimes, to be frank and be honest, our Heavenly Father didn't do a good example, didn't do a good job of showing us what a pure father relationship looks like. And so for a lot of us, being called a son or a daughter, it means abuse. It means we have that in the back of our mind. We have just kind of that, maybe a father that walked out on us. Maybe a dad who just didn't love us, who was hard to approach when we needed him the most, when we needed just that comforting touch. But God, our Heavenly Father, is that in the most purest sense. We are his beloved. We are his beloved, and he wants us to come to him often. He wants us to come to him often. You know, I'm also reminded of and something that's not in my notes, so I'm gonna ad lib this. But you know, a big point that I wanted to make sure that our students knew on Wednesday night is why, if you were your own God, why would you bother in praying to God? If you were captain of your own ship and you were comfortable with that and things were going well, why would you bother praying to God? Because everything's going well and you think you got things figured out. But can I tell you, when you do that, when you captain your own ship, when you decide, you know what, I don't got to pray to God. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to make my own decisions. And you slowly start deciding the steps that you're going to take without ever acknowledging who God is. You start reaping a harvest of disobedience. You start reaping a harvest of being your own God. And then when things go into shambles, because you haven't prayed often, because you haven't stayed close to the heart of God, you look back and you see that your life is a mess, and then you blame God for that mess. But that's the harvest that you chose. And so often when we look back and we say, man, my life's a mess. Why God? Well, you chose that, and now you're mad at God, and we see even more distance created. And so if you don't pray often, if you don't stay close to the heart of God, we run the risk, and we run a very high risk of just, again, we start captaining our own ship, we start doing things our own way, and then we get far off course, and then we're like, God, where are you? God, you seem silent. God, I can't hear you. God, it's been dry for so long, and where are you? And we don't understand how to even listen to his voice because we've been so far away from his voice. And so sometimes I struggle with when people say, man, I just can't feel God. Well, have you stayed close to God? Have you drawn close to God? Is that a consistent thing in your life? And so oftentimes it's not. So often we should pray. And then the next thing we should do, the second step of how to pray is broken. I know that's kind of, you probably didn't expect that word, but let me unpack that a little bit. I think we should pray broken. And we see David's example in Psalm 51. This is after his sinful season of his of the sins that he committed with the whole Bathsheba debacle. And if you don't know that, just very briefly, he committed adultery and he had somebody killed and just all of these things. I can't do it justice right now, but it would be an epic movie. But he did all these things and went through this season of sinfulness, and now he is back and he's saying, God, I'm here. Like, forgive me. And we see in Psalm 51, 16 and 17, it says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. I really think that even though that we're not all necessarily in that season of brokenness, I think David has the key of how to approach the throne of God. And that's broken and humble. Broken and humble. That's how we approach the throne of God. And through that, again, I'm going to unpack it, but I am not good enough, God. I don't have it together. I need you, Lord. That's what Paul is trying to encompass when he says, in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of my deepest, darkest moments, you shine bright, because when I am weak, you are strong. That's what Paul is saying. And so when we understand, this is probably the biggest point that I can make today. When we understand our position in relationship with God's position, that's when prayer begins to make sense. When we understand our position in relationship with God's position, that's when things about prayer begin to make sense. You know, I try to think some of the things, the obvious things that keep us from prayer, and a lot of it is sin, shame, feeling unworthy, failure to see God's goodness, and then the question of how can God help me? I can do better. I can make better decisions for my life than God's decisions. And these thoughts, these things, keep us away from prayer. But I believe that what David figured out was a holy brokenness, approaching the Lord in holy brokenness and saying, God, by myself, I'm broken. I have nothing. I have nothing and I need you. Because that's the heart that God will not despise. That's the heart that God can take and mend. Not the heart of, not the prideful heart. Not the heart that says, man, I did my scripture reading for the week, and so I got it figured out. Not the heart that says, man, I pray a lot. God, why aren't you answering my prayers? I'm a prayer warrior, you know, like that's what people call me. Like I got prayer badges, you know? Like, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? Like normally it happens and now it's not. Like, no, God wants a humble, broken, like, God, without you, this situation is helpless. But because of you, there's hope. That's the heart that God wants to use. And so a holy brokenness affects our confession. When we are broken, we see that we have failed and we can't do it alone anymore, and we need God to intervene. There's no place for shame because God already knows and he's already paid for it. Think about that. Think about that. The God of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the one who knows everything. He knows what you have done and what you will do. And yet he died on that cross knowing all of that already. He loves you and he desires a relationship with you despite all of that. That's powerful. That's powerful. And so where is shame in that? There is no shame. There's no room for shame. There's literally no room for shame because it's already been paid for. It's already been done. Enjoy the grace and approach the throne. That's what it talks about. When we can approach the throne in confidence, it's not because of us. It's because it's already been paid for. It's because that he already knew and he was willing to die because he loved you enough. So we see how a holy brokenness affects our confession. It affects our petition. It affects the way we ask. When we are broken, we see that no matter how hard we try, we will fail being the Lord over our own lives. When we understand that we need God to direct us in everything, I promise you that you will approach the Lord a lot more. When you understand that you need him to direct you, you will approach him a lot more. I'm going to brag about myself just a little bit, which, forgive me, but this is my pride. But I did roofing in the Wichita area for, I think, about 3 years. I helped manage a roofing company. That's a loose word because I was right out of high school, and I immediately got thrown keys to a company truck. And how many of you guys know an 18-year-old with a 2500 Dodge, like Cummings diesel, just, I mean, it's got all the power in the world. And it was like, I felt like invincible, you know? And he was like, hey, you're going to tackle this and help me manage this roofing company. And so I would like manage these roofing crews. Like I was the boss, this 18-year-old kid. And I'd be like, hey, you need to pick these nails up better. You know, like I was the boss. And one thing that roofing experience helped me with more than anything, can I tell you, it wasn't how to hammer shingles down. In fact, I don't know how to do that any better today than I did back when before I started. It wasn't how to install roofing vents, or I kind of knew a little bit about that. It wasn't any of that. It was directions around Wichita. I know that seems so funny, but it was directions around Wichita, and I know my way around Wichita really well. In fact, you can say kind of an off weird street, and most of the time I know, because 3 years of doing roofing with a lot of roofing hail damage, you know, you get to know streets and neighborhoods really well. Well, where are you going with this? Well, let me tell you, even to this day, some of my good friends who are the same age as me cannot get anywhere in Wichita without using a GPS. I know it seems ridiculous, I know, but in today's day and age, it's like, Siri, take me to Kmart, you know? And it'll tell you where Kmart is.
Getting directions to Kmart.
See? It's got me directions. And this is what my generation and younger use, be honest. A lot of us, we say, we don't know how to get somewhere, Siri, get me there. And what that has helped me with is, without a GPS, in fact, one of my friends, their phone died, and we were going somewhere kind of weird. We'd never been there before, and he had no clue, and he was lost for like an hour. Finally, he got to a phone that had one of our numbers in it because he couldn't remember any of our numbers because it's all stored in the contacts, right? So he finally figured it out, and he's like, hey, guys, I'm not coming anymore. I got lost, couldn't get there, my phone died. But what would it look like? What would it look like if say, we didn't know the direction of our life? We really genuinely had no idea. We were in a foreign place, and the only thing that we had hope would be that GPS. I guarantee you, you're pulling off and you're typing that in and you're getting there, right? You're taking the time to type in the directions right, and you're going to follow to a T, because without that, you have no clue where you're going. And I really believe that that's what the Lord desires in our heart, to essentially let him navigate to the fullest potential and not be, I mean, us dumb dudes. I mean, we're like, oh yeah, I know where that's at. Let's go, you know. And sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we turn down one-way streets wrong, you know. And we think we know what we're doing, but we don't. But what would it look like if we really let God direct our life? If we really relied on him, I guarantee you that our petition would look a lot different. Instead of just going into that hard-to-have conversation with somebody that we should have that conversation with on our own knowledge, what would it look like if we just paused and said, Lord, guide me in this. Help me in this. Help me have grace in this. Maybe you manage people at your job. What would it look like if you just said, Lord, help me have grace in this? Because maybe that would mean the difference between really making or breaking their hope for the next season of their life. I mean, think about that. And I'm not trying to make everything super heavy and like, man, pray to God which color socks that we need. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that, but man, when it's direction of our life, we should lean on him fully for our understanding. I mean, I can honestly say, and people have asked me today, I really don't know what I'm doing next. And honestly, I've been looked at like I'm crazy, and they're like, okay, well, the Lord will guide you. But I know in the back of their head, they're thinking, you're crazy, dude. And I really believe that, man, I mean, to be honest with you, it would have been real easy just to keep doing what I'm doing. I love it. I love this. I love this place. I love you guys. I love our students. Like, I love it. But I know that that wasn't right. I knew that that's not what God wanted me to do. I knew that's not where God was leading me. And just because I don't know the destination doesn't mean I shouldn't listen. Just because you're scared of the turn that you're about to take doesn't mean that you shouldn't ask the Lord, say, Lord, you know what? If I know that this is the right step, then I'm going to take it and I'm going to believe. But man, if we really believe that in our heart, if we did that fully, what would it look like? How would our lives look differently? I can say this, they would be ordained by God. If we truly approached him in a broken spirit, in a holy broken spirit, and said, Lord, guide me. A broken spirit, a holy broken spirit, how does that affect our praise? Well, when we are broken and understand how little in control that we truly are, I think that how awesome God is begins to shine all the more. Like, I'm learning that as a parent, to be honest. You know, I want to wrap my little girl up in bubble wrap every time we leave the house. And every time she falls, I'm scared. Every time I hear her kind of whimper, like I'm looking over my shoulder. If students are playing with balls too close to her, I'm like a roaring lion. I'm like, go over there. What are you doing? Like, you're going to knock her over. Like, but it's all out of, man, I want to protect her so much. But I know, I honestly know in the back of my head and in my heart, I know that ultimately it's not up to me. Ultimately, it's not up to me. And although that's a hard pill to swallow, I know that our God is good. I know the character of my Father, my Heavenly Father, and that every good and perfect gift, like it says in the Word, is from the Lord. And so I have to trust that he has her intentions, he has her best intentions in mind, and I have to let go. And I have to praise who he is. I have to understand, because in my holy brokenness of understanding that I can't fully protect Nora from this world, and I have to be okay with that. Lord, thank you, because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, and you've got her. And I have to trust that. When you understand this, when you understand that He is good, and you approach it with a holy, holy brokenness, in good times, you're going to praise and say, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, because I know it's not because of me. I know I'm not the reason of those blessings, so thank you. In good times, or in bad times, it's Lord, I know that you're bigger than this situation, so thank you. When you have that holy brokenness and it's time to praise Him, it's, Lord, I know that you're bigger than this, so thank you. Thank you, Lord, for caring for me in this bad situation, in this awful situation. I know it's not from you, but carry me through it. In tragedy, in those times where we cannot make sense of it, there's nothing that you can say to say that everything's going to be okay because it's not in this situation. Well, even then, we can praise in our holy brokenness, because one day that we will be delivered from this world. Like, think about that. In our holy brokenness, all of a sudden it makes sense to praise, because we are not in control. The God, our awesome God, is. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you, because you are in control. Just a quick recap. Prayer is about praise, petition, and confession. How to pray is often and with a holy brokenness. And honestly, like a lot of people, especially students, because that's primarily where, you know, my ministry has been, and they say, how do you pray? How do you learn how to pray? How do you just sit down and pray? And really, the only thing I can actually come up with, like, there's no class that you take on prayer and it's all of a sudden you're a better prayer on the end of it. Like, you know, you've studied 15 hours of prayer and now it's like, man, I'm a prayer warrior. No, you learn by praying. I've been challenged since I've been here. Man, we come in here at 7:30 on Sunday mornings, not boasting about our staff, and because sometimes we show up late, so I can't boast about the full 30 minutes, but we aim for a full 30 minutes of coming in here before Sunday morning and just setting the tone with prayer. And so we're in here, we're yawning, we have our coffee with us, and we get to praying. On Mondays, when we meet for staff, we try to pray for 30 minutes before staff meeting. Guess what? Some days you don't feel like praying. Some days you're tired because your baby was up the night before and you're tempted to fall asleep. But you know Pastor Steve will kick you in the ribs if you do. Amen. Man, church, prayer isn't this perfect chemistry thing. Sometimes you just got to get, sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it's just plowing the soil. Sometimes it's just getting down and doing the work that you don't want to do. And you have to be okay with that. Sometimes it's just, man, you're not going to hear God. Sometimes it's just the fact that you're approaching Him and it does something in your heart. But the more you do that, can I say the 3 years, and that's not my only prayer time at all by any means, but that 30 minutes before every Sunday, that 30 minutes before every staff meeting, that's a lot of time. If you add that up over 52 weeks, we probably don't do staff meeting all of those weeks, but 52 weeks for, let's say, an hour out of those weeks for 3 years, that's a long time. And can I say those prayer times have helped build my prayer life? Sometimes we pick the weirdest music to pray to, too. It's like weird organ stuff, and it's like, man, what is this? It's not Elevation. It's not Hillsong, and it's like, this is just weird. But that's okay. Like, I've been built in my prayer time because, honestly, it's like now it's natural. Can I say, honestly, sometimes it feels weird just to engage in prayer without an amazing worship band, without amazing worship music, or when man, just the right people are in the room. But when one of those things are off, sometimes it's hard to engage. Sometimes it's hard to engage by ourselves in our house alone. But God wants us to engage in it. God wants us to pray often, pray broken. He wants us to approach Him because He desires to have that relationship with us. He desires that relationship with us. Broken people. And honestly, that should be the best feeling that we could ever have, in knowing that that God wants relationship with us. The Lord wants relationship with us. And so, again, I didn't say this, but if maybe Michael, if you could come up and do something on the acoustic guitar, or I don't know if you want your whole worship team, but what I would like to see is maybe for the next 5 to 10 minutes is for us to, I guess, turn this place into a place of prayer. And you're going to ask, well, what does that look like? Give me extreme structure. Give me something to just do. And I'm not going to throw a bunch of stuff on the screen. What I want for this time is for you to engage in God and say, Lord, help me. Help me engage in that relationship with you. I didn't ask you to raise your hands, but I would guarantee you that the vast majority, the overwhelming majority would admit that we don't spend enough time in prayer. That we don't have that real connection with God. Maybe we pray before every meal, but we don't really have that connection with God. We don't have that intimate connection. Well, today's a day we're going to create space for you to start that relationship, for you to start that conversation with God and saying, Lord, help open my heart. Help open myself. Help me have a holy brokenness. Maybe you have something prideful built in up inside you. Maybe you are shameful today, and it's like, man, I can't approach God because I'm shameful for whatever it is. Man, find that place in your heart where you can have a holy brokenness and approach him with confidence and knowing it's not because of you, it's because the righteousness found in Jesus. So this morning, I just want us to stand. So if you could just stand with me, and I'm going to say a simple prayer. And for the next 5 to 10 minutes, after I get done and I say amen, I really feel strongly about this. I really prayed and say, Lord, what do you want for me? Just create space for prayer today. So what we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and we're going to turn the lights off. And I just want the next 5 to 10 minutes for us to focus on, God, help open my heart. We still have time. We still have plenty of time. And so the next 5 to 10 minutes, Lord, open my heart. And I don't want you necessarily to stay there in your seats. I mean, you can move all over this place. I don't care, in the aisles back there, up here. I don't want us to put it in a box. I want you honestly to open up and engage in a conversation with the Lord, maybe in a way that you haven't done in a long time, and say, Lord, what does that relationship look like for me? What do you need from me? Like, Lord, help me approach with a broken heart. Help me understand that I need to pray often. Help me understand that I can approach with confidence because of Jesus. I'm going to pray, and after I say amen, let's just move and engage in God, engage in his presence, and just ask him to do something in our hearts today.
Everybody dance. Everybody. This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.